Hello, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a great weekend of racing are Tom Collins and Keith Melrose from the Racing Post and Paddy Power's Graham Temple, who made his debut last week and had a winning nap. So he's back again. Hopefully he can keep his hot streak going. What have we got on the show today? Well, if I tell you Politolog is a part of the Saturday TV action, as is the brilliant Boover Dare, you know that it is a compelling weekend. Yet another one. Let's just hope the weather is okay. We'll get the weather stuff out of the way first. Ascot, we think, has got no problems. Haydock somehow has survived this long, even though the whole of the northwest of England is underwater. And there's an inspection at Taunton. So hopefully all three go ahead, which would give us eight races on ITV4. We'll also be getting the rest of the good Saturday tips the boys have conjured up and their naps. And on Sunday, there's a couple of good graded races at Thurles. So we'll see what everybody fancies. We'll kick off, though, with the highlights of the weekend. It's the 3:35 at Ascot on Saturday. As I say, it's live on ITV4. And it's the Matchbook Betting Exchange Clarence House Chase, a grade one over 2 miles and 1 furlong. The good news is that not only do we have a fantastic field, we have eight runners. So if they all stand the ground, we've got each way betting as well. Graham, well done on the winning nap last week. Before we get into who you fancy this week, give us Paddy Power's show on the Clarence House.
We go 5-4 Politolog, Bruce. Waiting Patiently is 5-2. Deffy de Soy has been a bit of a drifter. That's 9-2. Duke de Genevra is a 12-1 shot. Fanyan Destreval, 14s alongside First Flow and 33-1 bar.
Thank you very much, Graham. Tom, we're going to go to you first for the first tip of the week. Who do you like here?
Well, I think the market has this race spot on, though if anything, Politolog should probably be a bit shorter. If you're looking at the champion chase towards March, then you'd say Politolog is the best horse in this race. He's the most consistent. He always runs to his figure. You've got the likes of Deffy de Soy in here, who would look a steal at around 9-2, as Graham mentioned, had he not blotted his copybook on his return. And his jumping just presents a huge question mark, doesn't it? And then you've got Waiting Patiently, who drops back down in trip. He's banged there on RPRs, but this horse hasn't won since early 2018. And as I mentioned last week in this podcast, I don't like backing horses a long time without a victory. Look, he's very interesting, Waiting Patiently, but I think it just sets up for Politolog. He's the most solid horse in the race. He's a proper Cheltenham Champion Chase contender. And his victory last time was very impressive. He's also 2 from 3 at Ascot. So what is not to like about Politolog?
Okay, Tom kicks off with a 3-wood right down the centre of the fairway. He's playing safe with Politolog. Graham, how do you view this race?
I have to go along with Tom. I'm a big fan of Politolog. Always reminds me of the Desert Orchid days when we all used to love watching that grey running. Well, I'm a big fan of Politolog. I think he can win this race cozily enough. Waiting Patiently, though, really decent run, finishing second to Frodon in the King George. You know, he's a real... I don't know whether to be frustrated with the horse or the trainer. Why don't they just pick a distance, stick to it, maybe just go for the Ryanair, prepare the horse for that race? I mean, with Waiting Patiently running in the King George and then coming out and dropping back to this sort of trip, it's just more annoying than anything else. But the horse is brilliant, there's no doubt about it, and might well put it up to Politolog. And the drift on Deffy de Soy, I couldn't be having that one at all. I'm a big fan of Politolog. I think I can see he was really impressive winning at Sandown on his comeback. And I think he's going to have another great year and defend his champion chase crown.
That's a very irrational thing to be annoyed about. A horse running over 3 miles and then 2 miles, one, Graham. Blimey, you always seemed a very affable chap. I didn't realise you had such a short fuse. I mean, be fair to Ruth Jefferson. This horse is obviously not your typical racehorse. I mean, he's made of China. He needs wrapping up, doesn't he?
Yeah, I see where you're going. But I mean... To run a horse that needs wrapping up over a hard 3 miles in the King George and then all of a sudden dropping back to 2 miles, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'd prefer them to wrap him up again and aim for a race over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham, perhaps. Maybe the middle distance would probably suit Waiting Patiently. It's just a horse that should have won more than it has, that's all.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been hard to train, hasn't he? He's a real conundrum here, Keith, isn't he? Because... You know, we've had to wait patiently with him. He's the most perfectly named horse in the land. Where do you stand with him? Do you think he can serve it up to the fav?
Potentially. He's also very aptly named because of the way he's ridden, and how he's ridden here will come into things again. I I think the reason that he ends up in the King George and in this race, and he might even run in the Ascot Chase, is because of his issues, they chase soft ground with him, don't they? And they're going to get that at the depths of winter. So I think that's presumably why they're doing this. And they're very lucky that the horse is so adaptable and so talented that he can handle all this. I'm sort of with the guys a little bit looking at this race. If I had to back one of the top three, it would be Politolog. I could probably think he should be about even money for this. But what I'm actually probably going to do is have an each way bet instead, because it's the dead eight. I'll honour that sort of tradition of chasing the third place. It's going to be on Fanyan Destreval. Now, he's only run once right-handed in Britain, and he jumped appallingly at Kempton. And I was worried about it. So I looked back even to his French form, and he won at Toulouse, which is a right-handed track in his younger days. And it was an interesting one because he did as usual. He can just get in and step at fences. But once he got to the front at Toulouse, Fanyan Destreval, he jumped really, really well. And I just wondered, you know, Politolog's got Harry Cobden on today. Harry's a jockey generally than Cobden. There's nothing else in the race that really tends to make the running. Maybe Bun Doran at a push, but I don't think he'll take on Politolog. Dodge one day, I think, maybe would want to try out that theory of going on with Fanyan Destreval, who I think has got a massive engine. And I don't know if it will be today or not, but I'd certainly be inclined to keep him up there early on and see how he jumps this way round. I'm taking a chance on his ability above all, and the fact we've got a dead eight to aim at and a couple of horses, particularly Defi de Soy, who you could easily see just bombing.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, Keith, there. I mean, with a race like this, sometimes you're going to say, well, at the front three do look head and shoulders. But with Defi, I mean, he's a funny bugger, isn't he? Because, of course, he was brilliant as a juvenile. Then he had the famous lost year when he just couldn't do anything right. Then he came back and was, you know, brilliant. And now he's had two absolute stinkers on the spin in the Champions Chase and the Champion Chase in the last time.
Well, it's telling, isn't it, that you've got those big three, two are 10 and one's 8, and it's the 8-year-old who you wonder if their career's catching up with them.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we have 3 votes for the favourite Politolog in the big race of the day. But Keith also fancies a little side order of an each-way dabble on Fanyan Destreval. Let's look at the other 3 Ascot races now, starting with 1:15. It's the 2-mile, 7.5 furlong matchbook betting podcast, Mare's Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 and the lovely Roxana and the Aintree runner-up Magic of Light dominate the market here, Graham.
Yeah, Roxana tops the market with us at 4-6. Magic of Light 5-2. Eglantine du Soy is a 9-2 shot, and it's 28-1. Bar the 3 of those, looks a three horse race. If the betting's anything to go by, Bruce.
Okay, only the 5 runners. Are you going to go with the favourite again, Graham?
I'm not. I'm going to go with Eglantine du Soy here for the informed Paul Nichols. Just a little shout on a statistic for Paul Nichols. We all know he's getting plenty of winners lately, but he's actually won with 11 of his last 21 runners that he sent to post that were priced at 6-1 or less. Very hot stat. 50%, even better than a 50% strike rate with anything that's even slightly fancied. Now, Eglantine du Soy gets my vote here, Bruce. It was a decent second at Cheltenham on December the 12th. And the step up and trip today is interesting, I think. And with the conditions of the race as well, receiving the £6, I think he's a fair price. So if I was having a bet in this race, I'd be going with the hot Mr. Nichols and Eglantine du Soy.
Thank you very much, Graham. Keith, what's your view of this?
I think the market's more or less got it bang on, though I don't thank you for reminding me that Magic of Light was second in the last Grand National.
That seems like
forever ago, that, doesn't it?
It does.
I think Roxana deserves to be odds on to beat her, though. You could argue Roxana's actually an even better horse this year than ever. She's very dependable, at least as much so as Magic of Light, who admittedly is a very likeable sort herself, but she's better and she deserves to be odds on.
Okay, and Tom, with Roxana, will you be putting on the green light and having a bet on her?
Probably not, but I do think she'll win this race. She's head and shoulders above these rivals. She remains unexposed at the trip, and her only 4 starts at or around 3 miles have produced 3 places and 1 victory. They've all been against the boys, and the 3 places came in Grade 1 level in the Sefton, the Liverpool Hurdle, and last time in the Long Walk. I mean, if she repeats that effort when she was behind Time Hill in Paisley Park, she'll run away with this. Obviously, Magic Light is looking for a 3-timer in the race, and fair play to Connections to get her across to run here, because obviously you've got to go through all the COVID protocols and whatnot. But she's been top rated the last 2 renewals of this race, and she just faces a horse that's much better this time around.
I like it when these Irish horses keep coming over, because it just reassures me that we're going to be okay for Cheltenham. The 150 next is the 2 mile, 3.5 furlong matchbook. Better way to bet. Holloway's handicap hurdle, it's a grade three. And if David Jennings was on the panel, I'm sure he would be tipping the favourite, Lightly Squeeze, a horse he absolutely loves. We'll see what the boys fancy after Graham's given us a latest show from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Lightly Squeeze tops your market here at 4-1. Danny Kerwin, 5s. At 6-1, Arrivederci. 7-1, Janika. Craig Nishi, I think that's how you pronounce it, is also 7-1 shot. Cateson is 8s alongside Paddy's Motorbike, which there's been a few quid for. And it's 12-1, bar those, Bruce.
Take it away, Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I looked at this race about 2 hours ago. And in the time since then, as Graham sort of alluded to, Paddy's Motorbike's gone from 12s into 8s, which is a bit disappointing. I thought that 12s was too big a price. 8s is probably a bit more like it, to be quite honest. But he's still the one I'm going to put up. I like the way he's been ridden recently. Getting that sort of ride on testing ground at Ascot is going to be absolutely the right way to go. And for all these 9, he's not actually that exposed over hurdles. He's had 9 attempts. And since he moved to Sam Thomas, he's had 3 runs. The first one was getting him fit, it looks like, because he's won the last 2 very nicely. Probably still has a little bit of give in this sort of mark. And yeah, the price isn't as attractive as it was, but he's the horse I picked out.
Thank you very much, Keith. Tom, who's your selection?
Well, there's 2 in this race that I'm interested in. The first is Janica, who's very interesting on the back of 2 chasing seasons for Nicky Henderson. We haven't actually seen him over hurdles in this country since he moved from France. Now, his general level of form over fences is far better than what most of these have shown over hurdles. But he just hasn't been seen in a long time. He's running off top weight and it's first time back from a wind operation. So you can see why he was slightly unconsidered in the market at the beginning of the week, but there has been a bit of money for him, so I'll probably be having a saver on him. The main selection, though, is Danny Kerwin. Nichols appears to be set for another big day. I mean, when does he have a Saturday when he doesn't have multiple winners? But this 8-year-old is extremely lightly raced, only had 8 starts. He's clearly better on a flat track. He didn't stay 3 miles last time and didn't really like Cheltenham, I didn't think. So you can put a line through that. His RPRs suggest he's not overly well treated. However, his victory 2 starts back at this track was extremely visually impressive, I thought. And off a reasonably lightweight, I'm willing to give Danny Kerwin another go.
Right, you are. And Graham?
I'm going along with Tom. I think it's going to be a great day at the office for Paul Nichols. Another thing to add about Danny Kerwin is you can forgive it for his latest flop at Cheltenham, because if you read of its form, it certainly seems to be a horse that produces its best form on flat tracks, and there's no flatter track in the UK, I think, than Ascot. And a course and distance winner here, November the 20th, trainer absolutely flying. I think Danny Kerwin is very tempting at the current price.
I'll tell you what, I'll put a tracksuit and a pair of trainers on you one day and make you run up that home straight. I think you might change your mind there.
The clues in a course with Swindley Bottom's not going to be pancake flat, is it?
No, it's not. What do you reckon the flattest track is? I always think that's Huntingdon, probably.
About Fos Lass?
Yeah, I've never been, but yeah, off the telly it looks pretty flat, doesn't it?
Yeah, you've got a lot. I mean, Newbury and Kempton are flat. Musselburgh's extremely flat because it's on the coast.
Yes, but it certainly Ascot wouldn't be the flattest. It is honestly, Graham, it's a deceptive rise up there to the finish.
When you go, it does actually catch you out. The first time I went to Ascot, I thought, Jesus, look at that.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? And I mean, designing that enormous grandstand that lasts for about half a mile on the slope is a real architectural feat. Very quick question for you each, lads. You've won 10 million quid on the lottery and you want to spend 400 grand on the next Corto star. So you get your spies over in France to find some up-and-coming chaser. Who'd you send it to, Keith?
No question, Paul Nichols.
Tom?
Yeah, Paul Nichols. Second choice would be Dan Skelton.
Okay, and Graham?
Well, I've never had enough money to be able to own a horse, but
fantasy ownership.
I understand, yeah. I don't know, it'd be just a shot in the dark. Henry de Bromhead, perhaps?
Oh, interesting. Certainly jump well, wouldn't they? But yeah, 2 votes for Nichols, and you can see why he is the man. Right then, that was the 150. We've got one more TV race at Ascot to cover, and it's the 3 o'clock. It's the Bet365 handicap chase over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs, and it's an open kind of affair, Graham.
Yeah, handicap chase, and Paddy's paying five places in this as well, which is an added bonus. We go 9-2, Benny's King, Good Boy Bobby's 5-1, Dashiell Drasher's a 6-1 shot, Capelin 13-2, Esquire de Guy 13-2, Windsor Avenue's in there at 7-1, and it's 10-1 bar those.
Tom, this is one of my favourite aspects of recent sort of betting developments, is extra places. 14 runners here, five places. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, and especially for the horse that I'm going to put up, who's a very much an each-way price. Now, I've convinced myself that Domaine de Lille is the bet in this race, so much so that I was going to put him up as my nap, but I've decided against it at the last minute. His price has almost halved since the race was priced up by the bookmakers, which is a bit of a shame, but I think there's still plenty of juice in the double-figure odds at the moment. We still don't know that much about him, to be fair, since his move from France. He completed a hat-trick in this race last year when he fended off Benny's King, who's this year's favourite. He's £9 better off this time around. He picked up so well in the straight that day, and he jumped perfectly as well. He was down the middle of the track, and I was really sweet on Benny's King, which I have already been this so far this season as well. I like that horse, but he picked him up and won by a neck. He was going away at the finish, and he's only had five starts since. Now, three of them have come over fences. They've been at a range of different trips on different ground, and it kind of not in races that he would be best suited by. He's had two starts in novice hurdles, including last time, which was clearly a ploy to try and keep him race fit while maintaining his mark of 140, which was the same mark that he won this race off last year. Trainer Sean Curran is rather a plot job trainer, I believe, and he fits first-time blinkers on Domaine de Lille. I really fancy him. I think he's going to go very close at a double-figure price.
Thank you very much, Tom. Graham, have you got strong fancy here?
Well, after listening to Tom there, I'm definitely going to back Domaine de Lille each way. But my pick when I studied this race earlier on today was Dashiell Drasher. Won a three-runner race over course and distance here on December the 19th. And I think it can follow up for Jeremy Scott. Matt Griffiths doing the steering. Course and distance form, it won on heavy ground that day. So if it turns heavy today, it won't put him off. And with the five places with Paddy Power, Dashiell Drasher was my initial pick. I'll probably end up backing two in it because Tom's after putting me on Domaine de Lille. And I do try to listen to these experts. I think my morning time slot on the Racing Post could be a little bit profitable over time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it doesn't always happen, obviously. But whether or not the tips are profitable, hopefully what this show does is set up the weekend and give you some food for thought and some wise words. And one bit of advice I would say is that if you want to get really good each way odds, download the Racing Post app, because that five place offer from Paddy Power is available if you bet direct through the app. Okay, Keith, sorry, we've waited far too long to find out who you fancy here. Who is it?
To be honest, guys, this weekend overall, there's only one horse that I'm going to have what I'd regard as a proper bet on. And I've already had it, and it was with a competitor to Paddy Power who were offering five places at the time, and Paddy Power were offering four. But now Paddy Power are a better offer, actually. This horse is Espoir de Guy. I just cannot see not finishing in the first four or five. He has got a really good record round here, especially when the mud's flying, and his last run was in the three-mile race just before Christmas. He was ridden like Charlie Deutsch didn't think he would stay, and he didn't stay. He's now back in trip, and they put a tongue tie on him, which suggests they think he'll stay 3 miles one day, but doesn't need to prove that here. It's 2 mile 5. It's his sort of conditions. He still looked like he was on a good mark in that race last time. I think he's an absolutely smashing each way bet.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. That was Ascot. Haydock coming right up.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+.
Welcome back. In the next section of the show, we're relying on the weather showing us a little bit of mercy. Haydock has somehow survived this long, even though, like I say, there are floods in the area. Indeed, our local correspondent up there, our Racing Post reporter, is absolutely, and I quote, flabbergasted it hasn't already been called off. But it seems now the main threat there to Haydock is not so much rain as frost. That's also an issue with Taunton. So we've got inspections at Haydock and Taunton, fingers crossed. They both survive. If they do, Haydock's first race is the 1 mile, 7.5 furlongs, Skybet Supreme Trial, Rossington Novices Hurdle. It's a grade two, and we've got five runners. Graham, take us through the prices.
For the 150 at Haydock, Landonabo Lad is a 7-4 favourite. Manila Drama 5-2. It's 7-2 Favoir, 4-1 Nada to Prada, and 17-2 the Rag of the Five. Anything for love?
And Graham, it's with you to go first.
Yeah, well, the one I side with here is Manella Drama. If you look at the prices for these for the Supreme Novice Hurdles, first Landonabo Lads, a 33-1 shot with Paddy. Manella Drama is 50-1. But Landonabo Lad is rated a few pounds better than Manella Drama. We all know that. But Manella Drama is proven on heavy. And we've just talked about the fact that this track, if it does get by an inspection, whether it's frost or whatever, I think we can all expect it to be heavy going for or hard going for these horses. Now, Manella Drama absolutely skated in a banger, despite flashing his tail on December the 11th, and the going was heavy. And I just think with the possibility of heavy going here, if they do race, I think that just could swing it in the favour of Manella Drama at a better price. So that's probably the one that I'd back.
Keith, we're looking at some fairly spectacular, unprecedented going stick readings. I mean, we're not far off getting our first of a negative going stick reading.
Yeah, that's right. We had a 2.5 or something at Chepstow in a week. It's the lowest I've ever been aware of. And the frost covers are preventing it at Haydock at the moment. But I'm actually excited to see what we get tomorrow. It could be a record low. This race is... I think Manella Drama's worth having a chance on to topple the favourite. The way he's been campaigned gives the impression that McCain thinks he's his best novice hurdler this season. And his run at Bangor last time looks pretty good. The only three horses, well, he won by 12 lengths himself, and the only three horses in the picture. The second has since come out and won very handily. And the third has was second at Ludlow, I think, earlier in the week, having basically ran to the same sort of level as when he was beaten quite handsomely by Manella Drama. There's a good chance this horse is, you know, useful to smart level of form, and is worth taking it to beat the favourite.
Two votes for Manella Drama. Any advance on two?
No, I'm just going to put up the favourite, Landonabo Lad. He's clear standout on the ratings, although he's given away £5. To his rivals, up to £5, because anything of love gets extra weight. But still, he comes out on top with a mark of 141. Manella Drama's rated 134, so technically £2 superior. I think the ground will be fine for Landonabo Lad, and hopefully provide a timely tonic for Tom Simmons, who obviously lost a fair few of his horses, and the assistant trainer, David Dennis, earlier in the week. So hopefully Landonabo Lad will justify favouritism.
We move on to what is going to be an extremely grueling contest if it goes ahead. The 240s, the 3 mile, 1.5 furlong, Peter Marsh handicap chase. We've got, how many runners have we got? We've got 10 runners. So hopefully they'll all stay on the ground. It should be a really interesting old slog. Graham, give us the betting.
Royal Pagale is the favourite at 9-4. I hope I pronounced that right. Sam Brown, 7-2. Sam's Adventure is a 5-1 shot. AC Milan, 7s. Le Manver Pippin is an 8-1 shot. Also an 8-1 is Popper's Legend, or Potter's Legend even. And it's 12-1 bar those.
Name the best horse to win this in the last 10 years, Keith Melrose.
Bristol Dubai.
Well in. Who wins this year?
Who wins this year? Well, there was two horses I was sort of interested in. It was AC Milan and Creve Hill. I was surprised that AC Milan's half the price because I think he's got nearly as much to prove. Creve Hill showed on the day, I think it was the same day, Old Roan Day, that AC Milan won at Aintree. Creve Hill shaped pretty well in the Old Roan and just didn't seem to suit 2.5 miles there. It was too short for him. He's run a couple of times since in good handicaps. He's not been given the sort of forceful ride that I think suits him best. And the last time he got that sort of ride was over this sort of course and distance on Betfair Chase Day 2019, when Lost in Translation won the big race. He actually put up a time that compared very well with that race and won off this very same mark and won handsomely. At 16-1, I just think with a lot of things in his favour here, and if he gets that sort of aggressive ride, I might even top up because I think that's what he needs to come back to his best.
Bold stuff from Keith. Are you going to take a cut at this, Tom, or play safe?
Yeah, I'll take a cut at it. But it's with the other one that's on Keith's shortlist, AC Milan. Obviously, Royal Pagale is interesting, and if he matches that Kempton win last time, then he's going to be the horse to beat. But he seems to be something of a hype horse now. Obviously, he's been featuring all over social media, people talking about Cheltenham, etc. with him. And I don't know, he'll need to be very good to justify the buzz off top weight in these conditions, and he's going to be overbet, so he's worth taking on. I'll be with AC Milan. He hasn't been at his best the last twice. He's a bit of an in-and-out horse, but when he's good, he is very good. He impressed in his seasonal reappearance at Aintree, And he ran a great race on his only start of this track last year, went second to Stony Mountain in a grade three hurdle. I just thought that with the weight, only 10 stone four on his back, around 7-1, as Keith said, it's not the price he was, but he's probably the play in the race for me.
Thanks, Tom. And Graham?
I'm going to side with Brian Ellison's Sam's Adventure in this Ryan Mania doing the steering. Left previous poor form behind when scoring here over a course and distance on December the 19th. Horses for Courses players might be looking to this one. There's no flies on Brian Ellison, as we all know. You'd have loads of respect for Royal Pagale, for Venetia Williams. She does really well here. But I can't have Le Mans for Pippin. I've drew a line through that. Remember, I was talking with the lads, or Tom alluded to it last week first, that Colin Tizard has been going rather poorly lately. Well, his losing run has extended. 38 runners Colin Tizard has sent to post over the last 30 days. None of them have won. So I drew a line through Le Mans Berth Pippin, although the trainer's due winner. But my pick is Sam's Adventure for Brian Ellison.
God, that really is a shocking run for poor old Colin Tizard, isn't it? I mean, as you say, it should turn around at some point, but it's taking its time. Okay, really looking forward to the next race, 3:15 at Haydock. It's the 2 mile, the new one, Unibet Hurdle. It's the champion hurdle trial. We've only got three runners, but one of them is Bouver Dare, having his first run since last season's Fighting Fifth, when he finished, believe it or not, with a chunk of the hurdle stuck through his leg. I mean, he's been patiently brought back to fitness, and at the age of 10, we'll see if he's still got it to enter the champion hurdle equation. Graham, I want you to give me prices for this race, but I also want to know how Paddy Power bet on the champion hurdle, because we're going to have a sort of dual conversation right now.
Well, that's fair enough. So we'll price the race for, I'll give you the prices for the race first. Bouver Dare is a 4-7 favourite. Ballyandy 9-4. Navajo Pass, the 8-1 rag of the trio. And then the champion hurdle betting with Paddy. Epitante tops our market at 2-1. Sharjah 7-1. Honeysuckle's also 7-1. Silver Streak 9s. St. Waugh is 10-1 shot. Concertista 10s as well. Bouver Dare, we've got to him. He's a 10-1 shot alongside Aspire Tower, and it's 14-1 and bigger the rest for the champion himself.
We'll actually just spin round and get tomorrow's race done, and then we'll talk about the champion. Very quickly, Keith, how does this one pan out?
I think with Bouver Dare, he's getting £6 off Ballyandy, but Ballyandy is very consistent. He's going to force Bouver Dare to show, you know, mid-150s form. So if you're going to, I'd maybe be backing Ballyandy, if anything, in this race, to be honest. But I probably won't end up backing anything, to be perfectly honest with you.
Watching brief. Tom?
Yeah, very much a watching brief for me as well. I just hope that Bouver Dare can return to something like his best to give us another player in the champion hurdle market, one that we desperately need.
We certainly do. We'll talk about that in a sec. Graham, first of all, have you got a bet for tomorrow's race or not?
I do. I'll be backing Ballyandy. Won this race last year.
Is that the same? Is that the same way that all the judges were on a steering for Longe against Envoy last week, and that went disastrously wrong? I suppose it's slightly different here because you weren't quite sure with the steering, but you are sure with Ballyandy, aren't you? You can set your watch by this old boy, can't you?
Yeah, but the reason why I'm going for Ballyandy is this is sort of his race for the year. I'm talking about connections targeting a particular race. They'll be throwing the kitchen sink at Ballyandy to win this race, whilst Bouver Dare, returning from an extended break, coming back, champion hurdle coming up in March. We all know how Nicky Henderson's been operating over the last few weeks. The vast majority of his horses that have appeared have needed the run. Now, in fairness, Bouver Dare has returned from breaks, extended breaks, twice in his career, one from 240 days and one from 253 days, and he won on both occasions, so loads of respect for him. But on the other side of the coin, Ballyandy has won 2 4 runner races in his career. So small field suits this horse. And I think Sam Twist and Davies can produce him at the right time and maybe just get up on the line again. I just think in a 3-runner affair at 9-4, can't resist him. Ballyandy for me.
That makes total sense. Okay, champion hurdle, Keith. Well, what are your current thoughts?
Yeah, it's not a division that has much depth. And Tom Siegel dealt with it in the week and sort of said, along the same lines, he put up Silver Streak as one of his two bets, and I can see that one. But with it being so lacking in depth, I thought Saldi at 25s was the one I'd have a little poke at. He has got a lot more ability than probably any other horse that's 16s or bigger. And his run at Leopardstown over Christmas It was his first for over a year, and it smacked of a horse that wasn't quite fit yet. So I can see him turning up in the Irish Champion Hurdle or something, running a lot better, and all of a sudden being in the sort of 12-1 region for the champion. So he's the one I'm interested in at the moment.
Saldier, a very interesting shout from Keith. Tom, if I was pressing a crisp fiver into your palm and saying you've got to put it on the Champion Hurdle, where would that be going?
Well, I've only backed two horses at the Cheltenham Festival so far, and I backed them both in October, and Saldier was one of them for the Champion Hurdle. Now, obviously, he ran very disappointing in the Matheson. He finished 6th of 7, and his price is now unsurprisingly bigger than when I took it. But I think he's a real player. Like, on his best, as Keith said, on his best, he is a proper contender in this race. He just needs to bounce back, that's all.
Okay, two votes for a 25-1 shot in Saudi. Graham, have you got any inspiration for us?
Yeah, I'd go for Sharjah. Very impressive at Leopardstown over Christmas. And it was backed before that race, even though, I mean, it was a great field and everything. But I just think Sharjah at 7-1 looks a bet to me with three places up for grabs. I can see him at least making the frame, and 7-1 is a decent price.
Yeah, in the Racing Post today, the brilliant Racing Post handicapper Steve Mason puts up two in the Champion Hurdle, one of which is that. And a quick shout out for Racing Post Members Club, £35 a month. That gets you every single day the digital version of the Racing Post newspaper. You get the Weekender, you get the RFA, you get all the video replays, you get all our premium content, all the stats. I think it is the absolute bargain of them all if you want to take your racing betting seriously. Okay, let's move our attention to Taunton. Lovely little track down there in Somerset. And they've got a race on ITV4. Like I say, they've got a passing inspection. Hopefully they will. And if it does pass, the emphasis will be on stamina. 21 obstacles and 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs stand in front of the 7-runner field for the Wetherby's Portman Cup. What's the latest betting here, Graham?
Yala Enki tops the market at a shade of odds on 10-11. If the cap fits, 5-2. It's 6-1 Rock the Casbah, 10-1 the Mighty Don. Al Rock's a 14-1 shot, and it's 20-1 bar.
Graham, you can go first. Will Briony Frost get the favourite home in front?
I think there's a lot of people out there that will back this Yala Enki blind off the fact that it's, of course, it won this race last year. It's appearing in this race after finishing third in the Welsh National, which it did again last year. But there is a little bit of a negative about Yala Enki. Remember, the Welsh National was delayed by a couple of weeks. It was abandoned over the Christmas. So this Yala Enki will be appearing for this big race with having only a 2-week absence. And that puts me off him. I mean, you race over an extended trip at Chepstow, and the next minute you have to come out 2 weeks later. Will all the muscles be, will the soreness be gone? Will the horse be right? I'm just not 100% sure. So I would not be back in this market topper at odds on. I've fished out one at an each way backable price in Al Rock, an ex-French trained horse that's trained by Dr. Richard Newland now. It used to be trained by Yannick Fouin in France. I had a look at this one's form, Al Rock. Never raced it any further than about 2 miles, 6 furlongs, stepping up dramatically in trip today. I just wonder what the doc is at, Dr. Richard Newland. I'm sure there would have been weaker races that Al Rock could have started his UK career in. And I think a 14-1, I will be having a bet in this race. I'll be backing Al Rock each way.
Interesting. I'm always super, super respectful of Richard Newland's runners. Keith, Yala Enki's obviously got a clear ratings edge. Would you expect that to be translated into a clear winning margin here?
I'm not sure about a clear winning margin. Taunton's so sharp that Yala Enki will basically only get going up the straight. But I do think he will probably, when I've got reasons to be against just about everything behind him, if the cap fits, run at Kempton, you know, that wasn't a particularly promising run, considering that horse would have been just about the fastest in the race. So to run as laboured as he did, it's not for me. Rock the Casbah hasn't run since he was second in this race last year. Al Rock is running in this race because it is the easiest race he can run in, I think. His rating's 158, and to think that's legitimate, you have to believe that this 9-year-old, as he was then, improved 2 stone in the space of 3 weeks on his last two runs in France last year. It's got a hooky rating, a look of a hooky rating to me. And, you know, if he had to run on a handicap of 158, he'd be lapped. So in a conditioned race like this, I think it is the easiest race he could run in. So I end up, if I am playing for a forecast or without Yala Enki, I end up on the Mighty Dawn, who probably isn't the most natural chaser there'll ever be, but has got a really proper engine, and going slower over 3 mile 4 might just ease that pressure on his jumping. So I think Jalenki will win. I'd be using the Mighty Dawn for the exotics, as American punters would suggest, and I don't fancy a lot besides.
Okay, I love that, and I love the Mighty Dawn, so I will be joining you. Tom?
Well, I mean, Jalenki beat Rock the Casbah comfortably in this race last year, but he's had a week left to recover from the Welsh National, and he ran a great race in the Welsh Nash. I wouldn't be surprised if that took its toll on him, especially at a short price. I don't really want to be with him. I know what Keith said about if the cap fits, his jumping could be an absolute shambles. He's been detached in his last two starts early on, but he's just the best horse in the race, I think. I'm going to tentatively put him forward, although there are clear negatives and doubts about him. You'll probably get bigger odds in running than before the race, because the way he's travelled through the early part of the last twice, he's just lacked that verve. But I think the step up and trip might be the catalyst for an improved effort, and hopefully he can live with them for the early stages this time.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. That's the TV action done. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday in just a jiffy.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Tom Collins, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. We're going to see what the lads fancy away from the glare of the ITV cameras. Let's see what we've got. We've obviously got the rest of Taunton. We've got the rest of Ascot. We've got the rest of Haydock. They are racing in Navan. And for all weather flat fans, we've got Newcastle. You never know. Tom might even fancy something at Gulfstream or somewhere. We'll find out after Keith's told us what he likes. Don't give your nap away, Keith.
No, I won't. And I'm not going to give really anything away here. I don't think I'll be having any bets that aren't on the telly on Saturday. I really tried with the 350 at Haydock. I gave that race a lot of attention. But there are actually three horses in there who I want to see the market for before I actually have that bet. I said I won't have a bet in it. I lied. I probably will have a bet in it, but it'll be just before the off. Reaver's Lad has fitness to overcome. Black Pirate could well come on for his last run. And Zuckerberg's now back over fences in Britain. Any of those three, if the money came, I'd be very worried. And if all of them are easy to back, it's probably an open goal for Destined to Shine. But I will make the decision on which horse I back, probably near the off.
Right, you are. Will you tweet your verdict?
Possibly. Depends how my daughters are acting, to be honest. I'll probably be watching it at home with them. So
you might not have time.
Yeah.
Are you at Keith Melrose? Have you got a pure Twitter handle?
Yeah, I do. You don't get too many Keiths on Twitter. And Melrose isn't that common either. So, yes, I'm at Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I've got an at Bruce Millington as well. We won't talk about Tom's Twitter handle, but we'll talk about who he fancies.
Yes, your theory was correct. There is one at Gulfstream. But we'll start with one at Newcastle, which is Great Esteem in the 405 at Newcastle. One for combination bets. He'll probably go off a short price favourite. Although if there's any of the forecast 11-8 about, I'll be snapping that up. I think that the opening mark of 85 is very lenient about Archie Watson's big, imposing five-year-old. He was heavily punted on his return from a long absence last time at Kempton. He absolutely bolted up that day from the front, a track which doesn't favour front runners. He reminds me of another horse called Ulster, who ran in for the same owners and Archie Watson back in 2019. I think he should be very hard to beat. And then one at Gulfstream. Well, there's two, but one's the nap. So we'll do the next best at Gulfstream first, which is Fat Man, fat spelt P-H-A-T. In the Grade 3 Fred W. Hooper Stakes, the 6.05 at Gulfstream. He's a veteran in the race. He's a seven-year-old now in the mile contest. But he's like a fine wine. He seems to be getting better with age. His three best career best efforts came in 2020. And he looks to be perfectly prepped with this race in mind. Kent Sweezy is a fantastic trainer. He's booked Ired Ortiz. Everyone knows how good Ired Ortiz is, even if you don't watch the US racing. He's a very good young rider. He won this race last year by a length, producing a strong late kick. He ran down a horse called Zenden, who's very talented over the mile trip. His recent third behind Tax in the Harlan's Holiday suggests he's ready to retain his crown. I think his morning line price is about 7-2. You've got a horse on the inside called Producer, who's 5/7. I think he's a bit of a hype horse, this Producer, and I want to be taking him on with Fat Man.
Thank you very much. Now, we often have on the postcast tipsters stealing other tipsters' thunder by jumping in when they were, and you know, they wish they went first because they could say it. But I don't think, Graham, that Tom has stolen your thunder on the 6.05 at Gulfstream, has he?
He hasn't. The only time we like the American racing is when there's no racing in the UK and Ireland. Although I do enjoy watching Irad Ortiz Jr. in action wherever he's riding. I just back him blind for a bit of entertainment.
Well, I back Tom Collins' tips blind because he's absolutely mustard and he's rekindled my interest in US racing. So I'll definitely have a bit of that. Let's see what you fancy, Graham.
Well, last week you asked me the same question. Was there any horse that caught my eye? And I find when I look at a day's racing, I go straight to the bumper in Ireland and I look for JJ Codd. We mentioned it last...
Oh, yeah, you did the business last week, didn't you?
Yeah, it was...
didn't it?
Yeah, I think that morning... I can't remember the name of the horse. Hold on. Grangy Colomba or something like that.
That was it?
Yeah, it was 11 to 8 in the morning. It was back like the feet was out of the question. And they had to send out a posse to find the rest of the field. He won that easily. Well, there's a horse running in the concluding race at Navan this Saturday, the 4:17. A newcomer, Gordon Elliott trains, JJ Codd's in the saddle. I'll be keeping a close eye on the betting on this one. Three Stripe Life. That's one I'll be looking for this Saturday.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's get the naps. Take it away, Steve.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, as I said, there's only one horse I'll be getting really tucked into this weekend. That's Espoir de Guy in the 3 o'clock at Ascot. So he's the nap.
Okay, Graham, we'll go to you.
It's very easy to go for the superstar that'll probably win at the feature race at Ascot this Saturday in Politolog, but I think the price is a bit too short. I'm looking for something at a bit of value. So my nap this Saturday is in the 3:15 at Haydock. I'm reckoning Bova Dare is only going to be going out for a pipe opener and Ballyandy is going out to win the race, all out to win the race. So Ballyandy is my nap in the 3:15 at Haydock.
Thank you, Graham. And Tom, I think we're returning to the States for your best bet of the day, are we?
We are indeed. Pegasus World Cup night at Gulfstream. It's a $3 million race, the 10:44 at Gulfstream. And I really like Tax. The early speed is going to come from Nick's Go, Breeders' Cup mile winner for trainer Brad Cox. He's had a fantastic year. And Mr. Freeze, who's drawn wide in gate 11. They're going to go ahead and hammer and tongs from the start. Hopefully, there'll be a contested pace. You've got another horse called Sleepy Eyes Todd in gate one. So there should be plenty of speed about, should set up for a stalker. And Tax, who was well fancied for this race last year when he stumbled at the start, it was race over from then. He was looked after. This has been the target again, 12 months on. They're hoping to finally relive the dream to win the huge prize. Danny Gargan's a brilliant rider. He's booked Louis Size, who's the best pilot. Danny Gargan's a brilliant trainer, sorry. Booked Louis Size, the best rider at the Gulfstream Park. He's really been hitting his stride in his recent morning works. And I think he's the one to beat Nick's Go, the favourite. So Tax for me in the 10:44 at Gulfstream.
I'm glad someone likes Tax. I just filled in my return yesterday. I definitely don't like it. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Anyway, that was Saturday. Let's look ahead to Sunday very quickly. We'll see what we've got. They're racing at Thurles, where there's a couple of graded races there. Hereford, I think there's an inspection there. Hopefully that will happen. And we've also got Lingfield, where they seem to be racing every single day of the week. The two big races at Thurles have been shunted to the start of the card. At the 1:30, we've got the Coolmore National Hunt Size Kew Gardens Irish EBF Mares Novices Chase. That's a grade two with 10 runners. And then you've got Alaho among a seven-runner field at 2 o'clock for the Horse and Jockey Hotel Chase. And that's over 2.5. Let's see what the boys fancy. Have you got anything for us on Sunday, Tom Collins?
Well, nothing that stands out so far at Lingfield. I haven't had a real in-depth look at the card, but I'm sure there'll be one or two potentially that will go in the punt on Sunday. But just at Thurles, I'm really hoping that Alaho wins the 2 o'clock. I really like this horse. I've long been a believer in him. I know he didn't seem to stay last time out over the Christmas period when he was 20 lengths behind a Blutard. But I thought he travelled really nicely that day in the dropping triple suit. So Alaho, just for the watching brief and, you know, heart overhead with him.
Right, you are. Graham, have you got anything for us?
Yeah, I'm just a quick look at that 1:30 and the 2 o'clock, the two feature races on the card at Thurles. I think the Willie Mullins angle has to be taken. Mullins multiple entered in both races, but he has Cool Reevee and Yukon Lil in the 1:30, which is a mare's novice chase. And we all know Willie Mullins has an embarrassment of talent in his stable when it comes to the mares. So I can see him winning that one. Which one will win? That's another question. But there is a horse that goes to post in the 3 o'clock at Thurles, Bruce, that I think some of the guys might be interested in. Gentleman's Game runs in the 3 o'clock at Thurles this Sunday for Mouse Morris. Robbie Power rides. This was extremely impressive on its most recent start, and I think this horse could be a potential star. Certainly when they interviewed Mouse Morris after the race, Mouse would be a fairly good poker player, I'd say, if he did play poker. Never gives anything away. But reading between his lines of his interview, I got an impression that he really likes this gentleman's game. It's only a five-year-old, and certainly a watching brief is encouraged for the 3 o'clock at Thurles on Sunday.
I remember seeing that victory. It was on pretty deep ground at Cork, and it absolutely whizzed up, didn't it? I mean, Rachel Blackmore didn't need to move a muscle, and I've just wondered how good the race was. I guess we'll find out on Sunday. That's an interesting shout from Graham. Keith, have you had a look at Sunday?
I had a look at the big race, and I sort of came to Tom's conclusion. I think Alaho is a Ryanair horse all over. I'm hoping that this is the day, by winning over 2.5 miles, that he shows as much. But I am, even in those terms, a little bit concerned, because I'm looking at the past winners of this race, and a lot of them have actually gone to the Gold Cup after winning this race. So I hope, if he does, we have Don Cossack, Sizing John and Real Steel, three of the last five all went to the Gold Cup. So if Alaho does win, I hope they take the hint. This horse doesn't want 3 mile 2. Hopefully Aplutard is a Cheveley Park horse for the Gold Cup as well, and Alaho sticks to 2.5, because that's what I want to see. I want to see this horse in the Ryanair.
Well, I want to see Aplutard in the Gold Cup, because I think he's the value. I've just seen some Paddy Power prices on this race, actually. Like I say, it's the 2 o'clock at Thurles. Alaho's evens. Battle Over Doyen is 3-1. It's 11-2. Animix 7-1 Easy Game and 11-1 Bar. So that is a really good race to watch out for on Sunday. Thank you very much indeed to Graham, to Keith and to Tom for their wisdom. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to enjoy your betting, and you can do that by betting safely with money you can't afford to lose. There's nothing more miserable than waking up on a Saturday and thinking, I fancy that, I fancy that, I fancy that. And then on Saturday night, you got the thick hump because they've all got beat. Please do join Maddie on Monday to review the weekend's racing, and join us next Friday when we'll be looking ahead to another cracking Saturday, the highlight of which is Cheltenham Trials Day. Have a great weekend.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.